Welcome to another edition of the Steve Peichel podcast presented by RWJ Barnabas Health, the Scarlet Knights, in the midst of a four-game winning streak as they get set to take on Iowa out in Iowa, and joined now by the head coach of the Scarlet Knights, Steve Peichel. Coach, how are we doing?
Jerry, we're doing great. We had the day off for Super Bowl Sunday for our guys. Obviously, you know, we're getting ready to go on the road to play, you know, a team that's arguably one of the best teams in the country. With one of the best players in the country. So tough when you go on the road in this league, but excited about the way we're defending, excited about the way we're passing the ball, and, you know, excited about the way that we're playing. But in this league, there's no time for any of that. You're on to the next ranked opponent usually, and when it's on the road, it makes it even harder.
Take me through that for a second, because the way you're defending is exactly what we expect from your type of team and the way this team has played for the last couple of years. Even when your first year, you always defended. What has been the key to getting back to Rutgers basketball after kind of a little bump in the road? Was it strictly health, or was it figuring out combinations? What do you think it was?
Well, you know, I think it has to do a little bit of everything. But, you know, the last time we played Iowa, I think it was Caleb's first game back. We did not have Cliff. Gio was just coming back from his ankle injury, too. So I'm watching that tape, and I'm like, well, you know, we're very different now in that we have everybody, you know, available. So that's certainly a part of it. But, you know, I also think you go through times during the season where, you know, the opponents, you got to give the opponents a lot of credit. They take away some of your strengths. And, you know, as you're figuring out every season, and every team is very different, they have different personalities, they have different, you know, pressures. You know, you got to kind of go through some of the peaks and the valleys, you know, of the season. And when you happen to play in the best league in the country, you know, there's a valley around every corner. So, you know, just glad that, you know, we're healthy again and back to playing good basketball. You know, the guys are doing a great job in their preparation for games. And I think that's very, very important. And we're defending without fouling, which was a problem during that stretch, a big problem. And the last time we played, you know, Iowa, they had 18 points to our 4 points from the foul line. So there's a 14 point differential in a 2 point game. So, you know, we got to continue to be, you know, do those things that have helped us, you know, win basketball games. And you can never defend the foul line. So no defense. I don't care what you come up with, Jerry. The foul line is undefeated, and there's no defense that can stop it.
And part of the beauty about the win over Minnesota, so you guys have wins over Northwestern and Minnesota as part of this four-game winning streak, those being the last two games. And what was beautiful in the win over Minnesota was, I think it was 12 of 14, 13, something crazy, where you really hit your free throws down the stretch. Explain how much goes into it, because I know, and listen, I know students and the alums and the fans get frustrated when the free throw shooting's not there on a certain night, but there's a lot that goes into it, and the preparation and the practice. Just take us through how much you guys work on it and what the routine's like.
I mean, we do. We spend a lot of time, and the guys take it, you know, personal too, but, you know, I think it's a lot harder than people think, first and foremost. Everyone that, you know, doesn't really play basketball thinks you just walk up to that free throw line, and it's a lot more to it. It's the one part of basketball that stops, you know, during the course of a basketball game. You're always moving, catching, shooting, defending. You're always moving. Then a free throw is completely different from anything else that you do, you know, in the live basketball game. But, you know, a lot has to do with mental preparation, too, and, you know, confidence and those kind of things. We spend a lot of time, you know, shooting, form shooting, on their own shooting during practice, doing different kind of drills, you know, try to simulate game pressure and game, you know, conditioning, too. Because a lot of times you're running up and down the court, you're winded, and then all of a sudden you got to stop and take a free throw. It's very different than, you know, what people think. But we're continuing to get better at it, and which is a good thing. And the most important thing is we're continuing to not put the other team on the foul line. So that's been the biggest breakthrough for us, is that they're not getting free throw attempts the way they were. And I think that's been, you know, huge for us.
Another edition of the Peichel podcast presented by RWJ Barnabas Health. One of the things watching the win over the Golden Gophers was Marcus Carr. We knew about him. We talked about him going in, and he played well. But I thought for the most part, you guys did a really good job on him, especially in the second half. You know, when you play specific players with talents like that, is it game planning that goes into it? Is it effort? What is it that allows you to kind of keep him in check like you did?
I mean, it's all of the above. I will tell you, Minnesota is really good, and they played really well against us. So I think sometimes people don't ever factor that in. They were really good on our night. They shot the ball. They got to the rim. Marcus Carr, obviously, has been a really good player in this league since he got into this league. And Liam Robbins has become the leading shot blocker in this conference, which has really good big guys and can make threes too. So a really good basketball team that had beaten Michigan and Ohio State and Iowa, the only team in our league to beat those three teams. So it was a really, you know, really good basketball game, but it also was one where scouting becomes very important. And also guys taking it personal, the matchups, you know, Marcus Carr is really good. He's given a lot of teams a lot of problems. But I really think between Jacob Young and between, you know, Montez and between Gio and Caleb, you know, we were able to kind of corral him when we needed to. He always seems to get his points. He always seems to get his assist. I mean, he's just that kind of player. But you got to try to contain him a little bit, take him away from his average. He averaged almost 21 points a game. He scored under his average against us. But you can't let him control the game. And I didn't think he was able to do that the way we, you know, kind of prepared and played defensively.
I agree. And here's the part of the podcast where I give you a compliment and you ignore me, and that's fine. The win. So, for instance, the win at Northwestern, Jacob has got it going, and you ride him and you let him do what he does. And I thought that was outstanding, and he played great. And then in this game, he struggled a little bit, and you had different combinations out there that worked, and you knew exactly how many minutes that each guy gets. As you are, so A, well done. Don't say anything. I'm sure you won't. But very well done. But as you're going through a game, are you getting help from your assistants? Is that all you, like when you feel and see that a guy is either struggling or has it, do you make up your mind right then you're riding with that guy for the duration?
You know, first and foremost, you know, I have great assistant coaches. So, you know, I really trust those guys and they have a lot of great insights. But more than anything, I trust all of our players. You know, it really is a player-driven program. And every player cannot play well, I mean, every night. And I don't know if people quite understand how hard it is to play 24 games or 30 in a usual season and play well for 30 games. I mean, Hall of Fame baseball players are hitting 3 out of 10 pitches. You know, like it is so hard, you know, to play well. And I think in this world of social media, you either play great and they praise you or you know, that's how it's looked at. The guys that just play well are kind of ignored, you know, during the course of it. It's either the guy plays poorly or the guy plays great. And those are two places I hate when my guys are in those places, you know, because, you know, it's really not reality. You know, sometimes you could just play good in a basketball game and that's good, but no one praises the guy that's good. They praise the guy that's great or they praise, or they have a lot of criticism for the guy that, you know, has an off night, you know, and you just can't play well every night. It's just impossible, even though everyone thinks it's possible. And that's the greatest players in the world. You know, that's LeBron James. That's, you know, just impossible to do. And the other team gets some credit too. No one gives the other teams ever any credit. You know, a guy has 19 points in the game against Northwestern. Well, what do you think they're talking about in the scouting report? You know, like it's, you know, but the teams don't get any credit for trying to take away some of the things that you did well in the last game. I mean, I devour tape every day and, you know, go over every game that we're going to, you know, possibly play an opponent and try to figure out a way to kind of combat what they've been really good at. And you know, no one ever factors that in. So, you know, players, you know, you could have a feeling sometimes. Sometimes it's foul trouble that puts you in. Sometimes it's guys tired. Sometimes it's the matchups. Sometimes it's the team. Some guys are better against zone than against man-to-man. Some guys are better against pressure than against that. And, you know, it comes from knowing your team. And it comes from all the days of practice. It comes from the stats that we take on the daily basis. And we've been a team and a program that, you know, one day Montez is 25 against Purdue, and then the next day it's Caleb's day. And the next day after that, it's Jacob Young's day. And then it's Miles's day. And then it's Ron Harper's day. And then it's Cliff's day. And then it's Geo Baker's day. You know, that's how we've kind of won here. I've been very few times in coaching, been able to coach a guy that gets 27 points every night. Like, there's only one in our league, that's Luca Garza, that does that every single night. I've never coached that kind of a guy. So it's the whole team. It's a team effort. It's that day. It's that game. It's who has a good feel, who's feeling good about the matchups. You know, it's all of those above, which I think make a tough team to play against.
And it's amazing, too, that there is several players that we could talk about that have had monster games, and then you've got games where they all play well. One guy in particular that is really starting to, I mean, find his stride is Miles Johnson. And I know we've talked about his shot blocking, but his offensive game has gotten good. His defense, forget the shot blocking, his defense, Joe always talks about on the broadcast, the way he moves his feet, how impressive he is for such a big body, how smooth he is on the floor. And the one thing about him too, I guess it was the Michigan State game at home where he had that SportsCenter follow dunk that I did not realize until someone posted a longer video, was he was all the way in the backcourt, helped the opposing player up, and then 0-60 to make that shot. His effort on top of it. Just talk about Miles for a minute and the player he's become.
I mean, you know, any time to really realize how far Miles has come, you really just need to put in a tape of his freshman year here of watching him practice. And he always had the great tools. He had the great hands. He's got really a good basketball IQ. He's got some good instincts, but he's just come so far. And on the defensive end, quite honestly, used to only be able to guard fives, you know, big guys and strong guys. He can guard anybody now. You know, he'll sit down and guard point guards if we switch on things. He does an unbelievable job in the Minnesota game. He guarded Gak, one of their wing players, and he tried to take him off the dribble, and he blocked a shot, you know, at the rim. Miles does, you know, Paul Mulcahy and Miles do a lot of things that don't show up, you know, on the box score. They really do, whether it be set a screen, cut hard, a block out that no one notices that kind of saved an offensive rebound from happening for the opposing team. You know, running the floor, getting our guys organized, a pass, you know, that no one really noticed the pass that went to the pass. But, you know, Miles continues to improve. And, you know, it's exciting. And as you know, too, he's a great teammate. You know, he's got great leadership skills, and he does so much for this university, both on and off the court. You know, really lucky to have a guy like that. And he doesn't, you know, after the game's over, he doesn't care how many points he had. He wants to know how much the other guy scored. You know, he's really got a nice way about him. But he's improved a tremendous amount. And one day, Jerry, I'm going to sit you down and put a tape on from one of our practices as a freshman, and then you'll really know and appreciate how far he's come in so many ways.
Yeah, and again, Joe Boylan points that all the time. And you just, as you were talking there, mentioned the one thing Joe discusses when he comes out and helps on the defense and can guard the switch for, again, a guy that's almost 7 feet tall and he can handle a guy that's 6'5", 6'6". How much versatility does that give you, knowing when he's on the floor that he can do different things and he's not just hanging around the rim?
I mean, it gives me terrific versatility. And he's doing all this, too, and he's improved his ability to not foul, too. So he's guarding different players and from different positions, and he's doing this all while he's not getting in foul trouble, which, as you know, used to be one of his characteristics, you know, of his defense. And so at the end of games, you could do a lot of different things. You can make a lot of changes. And keep in mind, we have, like, over 7 screen coverages, too, that he's now mastered. So at any point in time, I could call out a different screen coverage and he understands it and knows what he has to do, you know, on those abilities. So we could do those kind of adjustments on the fly with him. And that's something that takes time. He's been here for 4 years, but it's also gives me a versatility that, you know, I never thought I could have with a 5-man of his size.
No doubt. Steve Pleichel podcast presented by RWJ Barnabas Health. Talk to me a little bit about Geo Baker now, because what I feel like we're watching is Geo really getting back to 100%. And he has told us that he's 100%, but you're starting to really see it. And he takes over games again. And he did it against Minnesota at the end. Ron made the free throws down the stretch, but Gio just looks more like the player we've seen. Is he now 100%? Would you agree with that? And, you know, how much better is this team when he's doing what he does?
I mean, you know, I really think he's, you know, found his way. I mean, the high ankle sprain is a really serious injury, and he missed a lot of games. And, you know, we didn't have the luxury this year of a lot of preseason games. So by the time he came back, you are right in the battle. I think we were playing 5 out of 6 ranked teams when he first came back. So you don't have the time to get a feel or the flow or any of that when your first game is against an Illinois team or your first game is against an Ohio State team who's now, I mean, they're saying they're a number one seed maybe in the NCAA tournament, you know. And, you know, he didn't have any time to kind of figure it out. But I think he's in a good flow right now. His ankle's feeling, you know, much better. He's starting to get some of his lift back, you know, in his ankle, and you know how explosive he is. And that takes a little bit of time, and it's confidence too. So, you know, pleased. And down the stretch too, I will tell you, everyone will talk about the shots that he made, and those were awesome. His defense has gotten better and better as he's gotten into the flow. He's doing things defensively that are really helping our basketball team right now.
Well, that's the thing, too. I know we talk about team defense. I guess you can't have good team defense if you don't have good individual defense. And it seems to me, whoever you're putting on the other team's best players, the effort, it's max effort. And you can tell Ron, even when he was struggling to score in that stretch of games, it looked like he was giving you 110% on the defensive end. And I guess when one guy does it 2, 4, 8, all of a sudden you've got a full team. And I got to tell you, it's been a pleasure to watch these last 4 games. Because to be quite honest, you go into Indiana, I mean, who knows where the season goes, and you talk about where they are now, and kind of like as we opened it up, I feel like I'm watching this Rutgers team that we expected to see. Would you say it's fair to say that you're starting to peak now at the right time? Because even when you were winning games, you always told me you didn't love the way you were playing earlier in the season.
I mean, I think, you know, one of the poisons of any basketball team is expectations. You know, in a league like ours, it's always funny when people, you guys are really good. Well, has anybody seen Michigan play this year? Has anyone, you know the recruits that Ohio State has? Does anybody know how good Matt Painter always is at Purdue? So I always laugh at that, but it's great to have expectations. When I first took over the job there, there weren't many. And so as you get better, you do. But you know, expectations too sometimes, you know, are hard to live up to. And you see in a league like ours, you know, you could go on winning streaks and you can go on losing streaks. Every single team has, you know, like it's and these teams are really, really good and well coached and have guys that are Hall of Fame coaches. And it just happens. But I feel real good. You know, now that we're healthy, that obviously is a big part of it. I feel better now. You know, I didn't love it at first. I won 11 games in the preseason. Like, everybody wants games in the preseason. You're figuring out a lot of things. You're getting guys playing time, you know, the whole thing. Instead, you play 4 non-conference games, and then you say hello to the number one league in the country. And they're saying this year, I thought last year the league was really good. They're saying this year is the best year in the history of the league. So, you know, you go right into that without having, you know, played through some of those other valuable non-conference games where you get tested and you learn a lot about your team. So, you know, it's difficult, but I feel really good about where we are. I feel really good about how they're attacking scouting reports. I think that's so important because every team in our league is so different. That's what I've learned in my 5 years. There's not one team that you could prepare twice for. You know, in other leagues I've been in, I could prepare for the next 3 games almost the same because all three teams played very, very similar. In this league, every team is different. Iowa is so different than Minnesota that there's nothing that I'm going to replicate in practice today that from the Minnesota game. You know, so it's very, very different in your preparation. And the more guys are mature about preparation and really listening and focused in on the details, the more it helps you win. And these are 1-2 possession games. So the way we're attacking scouting reports and the way we're attacking practice has certainly been, you know, a really good focus. And I feel really good about that as we continue here on our last 7 games in league play.
Does that That's interesting. And we've talked about that many times, how different the teams are. Knowing that your practice plans are going to be so different from game to game, week to week, and sometimes multiple times in a week when you've got two or three games, does that, when you look at recruiting, does that almost factor in that you want basketball players that love to practice as opposed to the guys that just love to play? Because there are two different types of kids. Does that go into your thinking when you look at kids?
I mean, you try to do as the best job that you can do in the recruiting process to find out what kind of practice habits your recruits have. It's a little bit harder because you get to games to watch them playing games, and no one tapes practices. So you can always see games on TV. You got to take the word of the coach sometimes, but you also have to, you know, tell the families and the recruits how important practice is to you as a coach. Because usually how you practice is how you play, and how you prepare to practice is a very important part of it. And how you prepare to play is a huge part of practice, you know, because the things we're going to simulate today and tomorrow are the strengths that Iowa has. And so every game is so different that way. And you really try to get kids that, A, like to watch film, because I think film is a huge, you know, sometimes their bodies are worn out, but their mind can take on the objectives of the basketball game. So you want kids that want to get in and watch film. Film is a really important part, you know, of the preparation and how to play guys and the habits that other teams have. So you really try to recruit kids that are into practice, but they're also into film. And then they can also soak in the lessons that you're trying to teach, you know, so you can now bring those to the game and have success with them.
Right, that's another thing. They've got to absorb everything in a very quick time frame because you're on to the next as they're figuring things out. Steve Pikul, podcast presented by RWJ Barnabas Health. Couple more for you. All right, we mentioned Iowa already. Obviously, this is coming this Wednesday night against a team that got out to a red-hot start. They're still playing well, but they've struggled in terms of finishing games their last few out. What do you see from them, specifically this last game where they lost late? Was it 77-75 or so? What do you see from the team? Is there anything different about them, or are teams just getting better and the league is just what it is and you're never surprised?
You're never surprised in this league, and teams are really good. So you always have to give the other team, you know, credit. Indiana's a very good basketball team, and to play at Indiana and win there is a really difficult thing. But they have injuries. C.J. Frederick's one of the best, you know, guards in the conference. And so he hasn't played. You know, they have the number one option in the country in Luka Garza, and he's really good. Wiesenkamp's really good. Jordan Bohannon's one of the elite three-point shooters in the history of our league. And they have a lot of really good, you know, players. Connor McCaffrey's as good a passer as there is in college basketball. So this team is – they're excellent. They're excellent. As a couple bounces haven't gone their way, that's all it is. They can go on a 10-game win streak and – you know, in a league like this, you could have stretches where you probably don't feel like you're playing as well. But Fran McCaffrey is an elite coach. They have elite players. It's an elite program. You know, you have to go into their gym and you have to play elite basketball. And that's what you have to do. And I don't care what their record. I mean, they've been ranked in the top 10, 5. I don't know where they are this week now. Are they 12? Are they 15? You know, it doesn't matter. They can beat anyone in the country. There could be a Final Four team. So you got to play really well. And every time you go on the road, it just adds that whole another layer of everything, of COVID, of travel, of the rules in that area, and playing in a hard place against, you know, a veteran basketball team. These guys have been together forever.
Yeah, and the first time around, I mean, that was – I remember talking to you after the game. I think you lost by 2 points in that one, something like that. It was about as good a basketball game as you could watch. You just came up a little short. When you watch the film, are there things that you see that you could have done a lot better that we can expect to see Wednesday night? Or is it just – you just got beat. It was just a good ball game.
Yeah, I mean, we, you know, it was one big rebound at the end there. I mean, obviously 18, they went 18 for 23 from the foul line and we went 4 for 12. So I think therein lies a huge, you know, huge difference, you know, in the basketball game. But it came down to, you know, they made one more play than we did. And, you know, that's what happens in these basketball games. And when you're playing really good basketball teams, you know, it comes down sometimes to one play. The other night we made a couple plays. We made a couple stops and we win the basketball game. But Minnesota's ranked too in the top 25. Like, that's a really good basketball team. So it'll be a war. Obviously, I have tremendous respect for Iowa. And anytime you're playing a ranked team on the road, you know, you got to bring your hard hat and you got to come and play really good basketball. And they have a player that can get 40 points in a game. He can single-handedly foul out your whole entire team. And they make the most threes of any team, you know, in our league. And they're the leading scoring team at 83.5 points per game. So in 14 really good teams in our league, they're the number one scoring team in the conference. So you better bring your defense and you better bring it for 40 minutes.
And I think I asked you before you played him last time too, with a guy like Garza, and because of the way they shoot the three, is it the most complicated team to prepare for just because of their inside out ability and to do it at such a high level?
Yeah, I mean, they're really hard to prepare for because hard to simulate what they have, first and foremost, and the ability for everyone, including their five man. They put five guys on the floor that can really, I mean, really shoot the ball. Wiesenkamp's as good a shooter as there is in the country. Bohannon as good. When Frederick's as good a player as there is in the country. You know, the McCaffreys can make shots. I mean, they bring guys off the bench that can, you know, so it's really a difficult team. And sometimes are you going to take away Garza? Are you going to take away threes? Are you, you know, and they have that option to throw the ball into him. He collects fouls too. A lot of guys foul him. You know, he's crafty around the basket. If you don't rebound the ball, you're in trouble. And they're transition. They're an elite transition offensive team. So if you fall asleep on a possession, they get you. So, yeah, there's a lot of things you got to do. And today's practice is, you know, chock full of a lot. But hopefully our guys will soak it in. We have a good day today. We have a good day tomorrow. And we get on that plane and, you know, go play an elite team on the road. But I tell our guys all the time, that's why you wanted to come and play in this league, you know, like 11 or 12 of the 14 teams have been ranked. I mean, that's like unheard of in any league. But that's the league that we play in. So every night is a challenge. You're trying to go 1-0 and then get ready for the next, you know, marathon game.
Not going to get any better than the Big Ten, that's for sure. Coach Steve Peichel, we appreciate it as always. We'll do it again next week or so or in a couple weeks. Go get them. Iowa on the road Wednesday. And, of course, you got Northwestern over the weekend. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Jerry.
This has been the Steve Peichel Podcast presented by RWJ Barnabas Health.